Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com. Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. Coming up 20 minutes from now, Nick Costo is going to join us as we will get his view of Week 16 in the NFL through the world of betting. And then at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, Terry Collins will stop by. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we will chat it up with Super Bowl champion, former Bengals and Rams offensive lineman. That does a great job with Amazon, Andrew Whitworth. So you know that Travis Hunter is going to be on the move. He is, of course, the former number one overall recruit that was going to go to Florida State, then goes to Jackson State with Deion Sanders. Now Deion Sanders is with Colorado. So there's been a lot of speculation that clearly Travis Hunter is going to wind up in Boulder with Deion Sanders. But there's also been, I guess, a late little push, or I'm sure it's been ongoing from Georgia. There's been some talk about Georgia. And then I see a photo, actually, Hickey, online today. And I think this was from yesterday, of Travis Hunter actually on Colorado's campus last night. So my gut, right, you would think would be that he's going to follow Deion Sanders to Boulder, especially remember when Deion Sanders talked to the team the first time, Hickey? And he said, I'm bringing my luggage, my Louis Vuitton with me, and there's going to be some players that aren't going to be on this roster because of some of that luggage that I'm bringing. I don't think that was just his sons Deion was talking about. I also think it was implied that was going to be Travis Hunter.
Also, yeah, I don't think you eschew Florida State or any other big-time school coming after you for Jackson State, no disrespect. And then when Deion Sanders leaves for a Power 5 job, you say, now is the time I'm going to leave and go to Florida State or Georgia or whoever else is courting him. I'm with. I would be shocked if it's anywhere but Colorado.
Now, Travis Hunter did something very savvy where he's trying to get more YouTube subscribers. So he was at 70,000 YouTube subscribers today, and he said he will not announce where he's going to commit his rest of his college football career to and where he's going to go until he gets 100,000 subscribers. How many subscribers, Hickey, do you think Travis Hunter is at? Because you probably told me about the 70K. What, at like 5:30 p.m. Eastern, so about 90 minutes ago, we were talking about that in the newsroom. How many subscribers do you think Travis Hunter is at now?
I saw on Twitter before, he's already at 100K.
He's already at 100. Come on, guess a little bit. Play the game
100K,
there a little bit.
100K, I would guess right now, Zach, in the last hour and a half. Am I right?
There's a lot of L's that you take on this show. When you have a shot to go get a victory, even if it's a little bit of low-hanging fruit, when you already know the answer, just take your wins when you can get them. Yeah.
Well, I'm a man of integrity and honesty. So if I know the answer, I'm not going to pretend I know it. You know, I'm being real for the audience.
Are you really?
I'm not going to take the layup. I will be real and say, listen, I already know it.
Yeah. I don't know if we could really say that you are a truthful man anymore, especially after the.
What is that supposed to mean?
The disgraceful things that you pulled off last night.
Disgraceful thing? What?
You said you were a man's man last night.
That's right.
That's a lie to the listening audience.
That's definitely a true statement.
And then you said that you would go to a game at Lambeau Field next year where you will go shirtless in Lambeau for all four quarters, and I don't buy for a single second you would have the cojones, or as Ross Tucker would say, the cajones, to do that.
I think I could do it. That's a truthful statement. If I didn't do it, why would I say it?
Well, you haven't done it. If you didn't think you could do it, then you wouldn't say it is what you meant.
That's what I just said.
No, that's not what you said.
I said, I think I could do it. If I didn't, why would I say it?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the way that the word just came out of your mouth.
I'm pretty sure it's exactly it is.
No,
but either
no,
way, okay,
no.
What I meant was,
my headphones have been messed up, but I think I just heard what I heard. So you're definitely going to go to Lambeau then next year.
Let's do it. Shirt off, gloves on, hat on. Just like those guys on Monday Night Football. Just guys being dudes. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you have no shot. So I'm going to say that Travis Hunter goes to Colorado, and we're in agreement on that. We'll do a little bit more college football coming up later on in the show. But now, when we take a glance at Week 16 that gets underway tomorrow night, this Jaguars-Jets game, Hickey, this is a tough game to read because the Jets played a close game last weekend. Now they lost. Zach Wilson had some moments where you go, oh, wow, those are some great plays. But then there's a lot of plays where you go, okay, I don't believe in him. Jacksonville right now is red hot, and they're starting to think about an AFC South playoff push. And we know what Jacksonville did a week ago, down 27-10 to the Dallas Cowboys. They come on back. They win the game in overtime, and they take down the Dallas Cowboys off that great pick six. I just wonder if this is a letdown spot for Jacksonville, where I think everyone's going to be picking the Jacksonville Jaguars. And just maybe, even though they clearly have the better quarterback, maybe the Jets with that defense finds a way to pick Trevor Lawrence off a time or two, and that ends up being the difference in the game. Because if I would have asked you what you think the spread of this game is, Hickey, what do you think the spread would have been? I don't know if you've seen the number or not, but just if let's say this was 2-3 days ago, hey, what do you think the spread's going to be, Jaguars and Jets? What do you think the spread would be?
I have not seen the spread. I would say Jacksonville minus, let's say, 1.5.
The Jets are actually a 1.5-point favorite. Now, I don't know where that game opened up, but that's just where it is right now. Doesn't that seem fishy that the Jets are a 1.5-point favorite? I know that the Jets are 7-7 and the Jaguars are 6-8, but with the way that the Jaguars have been playing recently and also the Jets not having Mike White, I would think that the Jaguars should be the favorite over the Jets in this game.
You would think. I mean, the Lions, right, last week were favored in the same situation. Now, I don't know if it's a short week. You favor more the home team, a little less traveling. They do have an advantage being at home. The weather as well, warm weather team going into what is going to be now an unseasonably warm day. It's going to be around 50 degrees tomorrow, but there will be weather, which again would think and would benefit a better run game and a better running team, better defense, which Jets have. But yeah, I still think the Jaguars will win tomorrow. Though that being said,
who is there more pressure on in this game, in your opinion?
Ooh,
I would say it's the Jets.
Pressure on. I would probably say it's the Jaguars.
Okay.
With Zach Wilson playing, now there's some momentum after you beat the Cowboys in a game that everyone's starting to talk about you. I think the Jaguars have to win this game on Thursday.
Here's why I would still think it's the Jets. If the Jets lose this game, I just don't see a way how they make the playoffs. I think the Jaguars can lose this game. You won't feel comfortable, but there's still a road for you to make the postseason, especially with this Paul Kaharsky report that it's looking like Ryan Tannehill is going to be done for the year. I know Tennessee has a game in front of them right now, but then Tennessee could then lose the next two. They could lose Dallas. They obviously then play the Jaguars the last week of the season, and if that's the case, that means they only have 8 wins, and then the Jaguars, if they win then their next two games, you get to 8 wins, and you have the tiebreaker then over Tennessee. So I both these teams, there's not a lot of wiggle room. I just think there's a little bit more wiggle room with Jacksonville than the Jets because this AFC wild card spot is really starting to take shape, and it looks like it's going to be the Chargers and the Dolphins as the last two teams in. And if the Jets then don't win this week and they're stuck at 7, and let's say the Chargers get another win and they go to 9-6, and then you look at a team like Miami, if they get a win this week and they go to 9-6, then you're pretty much screwed if you're the Jets.
I think it's more likely the Jets or Jaguars make the playoffs.
I think it's actually more likely that the Jaguars make the playoffs at this rate.
I agree.
Because Tennessee, if that's true that it's looking like Tannehill's going to be done for the season, I know he got banged up last week, and that's from Kaharsky. I don't think really anything that highly of Ryan Tannehill as an NFL starting quarterback. Like, he's average. He's a little bit above average. I don't trust him with the game on the line. Like, can Malik Willis give that team a big jump? I don't know. Not this early in his career. Now, could he be better than Ryan Tannehill? Sure, he could be better than Ryan Tannehill, but it's not like I could sit here and have this great amount of confidence in Malik Willis just because we haven't really seen much of him in the NFL so far.
Yeah, that's why I would still say the Jaguars have pressure, because I think they are, like I said, I think they will make the playoffs. I think they are the team that is more likely to make the playoffs. So even though you're right, the path is still there where Titans could even win this weekend, Jaguars could lose, and there's still a path for the Jaguars to win out, Titans lose out, and you go to the playoffs and win the division. So I think now when you're kind of feeling and looking at the Jags kind of trending the right way and the Jets stumbling a little bit without their still funny to say, but without their starting quarterback, despite the fact that it's still the number two overall pick from last year's draft, getting the start on Thursday night. It's a big one for Trevor. This is Trevor Lawrence's biggest game of his career so far. I would say it's small sample size, but
Last year didn't even count.
Last year absolutely did not count. Not many people, I think, were picking the Jags to win last week in Dallas. Now you're going on the road against a playoff contending team on a short week, where I think the consensus would be this is a game the Jaguars should win, or it's a toss-up. Big winning for Trevor Lawrence.
Other things that I look at for this weekend. Detroit, I think there's an enormous amount of pressure on Detroit this weekend, because you've now won 6 out of 7. You get a Panthers team that has a really good defense, but offensively they don't have much. I just wonder, I would pick Detroit in this game, Hickey, but it would not surprise me if this Carolina defense forces a few turnovers this week. And maybe that game is a lot closer than what people think, the way that we're talking about the Lions as of late.
What has me feeling good about Detroit is that even you look at back at the last two games they've won against Minnesota and the Jets, they have won in different styles, right? We know Minnesota's defense is not very good, and you had Detroit score, I believe it was off the top, had 34 points in that game in which they won. And you look last week against the Jets are top five defense in the NFL, playoff caliber defense, and it was a slog, but you find a way to win the game. So even though you're facing another good defense in a row, I'm encouraged by Detroit now 2 weeks in a row in different ways, finding ways to win. I think that will continue this week, even though it's, like you said, a feisty defense in Carolina that's still playing hard. And ironically enough, at 5-9, still playing for something. So it's not like they'll be mailing it in for sure.
There's also, coming off the loss last week, I think there's tremendous amount of pressure for the Commanders, because you could utilize that tie to your advantage. But if you don't start winning again, then the tie doesn't really mean much. I don't want to freak out after one loss to the Giants. They go up against the 49ers, but the timing of that may actually be the best time to get the 49ers, because now, even though Shanahan said, yeah, we're still going to play our guys and we're still going to go all out, there's 3 weeks left in a season, maybe you get a little complacency with the Niners that starts to settle in, even though seeding does matter, where you get a down game from Brock Purdy. Maybe, you know, Christian McCaffrey, you could find a way to contain him a little bit, and maybe this is a game that no one expects really the Commanders to win, that they find a way to pull it out. But it's starting to look like, for me, that the Commanders aren't going to make the playoffs. They got to get back on track in a big way this week. And it's a tough spot.
I was just going to say, I have a tough time putting pressure on, just because, like you said, like, this is a game on the road, right? I believe it's in San Francisco, against a team that's really good, playing really well right now. I don't think they're going to win that game. So it's tough to kind of put pressure on them in a game that I don't think they'll win. But you are right. Like, in terms of when you blow the Giants game last week, now it's every game's a must-win clear from here on out.
And you know who there's a lot of pressure on this week? Dallas. Because I know they were in the reversal roles earlier in the year, where they were starting Cooper Rush, and it was like, oh, Philadelphia just can't lose this game. Now it looks like Gardner Minshew, who's a solid backup in this league, a very good backup in this league. But when you're starting Gardner Minshew and you have Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have that stench of being the drama Dallas choking Cowboys, if the Cowboys don't do what Philadelphia did, where that game was close for a little bit, but more importantly, you walk out with the victory when you're going up against the other team's backup, then that's a brutal look for like, if Dallas loses this week, I do think, I know that game's on Saturday, but I think out of all the possibilities from this weekend in the NFL, Hickey, if Dallas loses on Saturday, I think that becomes the number one story on Monday when everyone gets back from vacation and everything, for everyone that's working on Monday, in terms of what we do in the media, in that, okay, where's your trust level at with the Dallas Cowboys? I really do believe Dallas, out of every team this weekend, and there's different ways to define pressure, they're under the most pressure, because if they lose this game, it's now you lost to Philadelphia twice, and then you can't use that excuse of, oh, well, Philadelphia beat us with their, you know, when we had our backup quarterback in, because now they have their backup quarterback in, and then you have to then repay the favor.
Without a doubt, like I said, just the fact that now no Jalen Hurts, or even if Jalen Hurts plays, you'd think he'd be limited at best. Yeah, Micah Parsons adding fuel to the fire. No, Jalen Hurts not playing, but still then if you're talking that talk about Jalen Hurts being a system guy, you still then got to go out and be the backup. And like this is a game where I think you're right, there's so much pressure on Dallas, but it's also one of those things where this is a weekend that I think it's hard if you're the Cowboys to impress. Like, do you think if they win, let's just say 45-0?
That's impressive. That's a different conversation. 45-0.
Okay, fine. They win 27-24. Can you feel good about the Cowboys come Monday?
If they win 45-0, Micah Parsons would take that in a second, but it makes him look so wrong from what he said about Jalen Hurts being a system quarterback if they lose 45-0.
That's true. I'm sure Micah wouldn't be mind being wrong, but you're right. That kills the entire argument.
You could really only lose if you're the Cowboys. Like, if you win, it's expected.
Right.
But you'd rather have that expected outcome than being dragged through the mud on a loss like 23-20. And then three teams just have to win this weekend. Miami has to beat Green Bay this weekend. They need a win in the worst way. Even though they played well last week, you're too late in the season for moral victories. Tampa Bay going up against Trace McSorley has to beat the Cardinals this weekend. And then the Chargers, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, they have to beat Nick Foles and the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. I don't even think those three teams are debatable. No one would even argue that. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Nick Kostos will join us next.
Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com. Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023, but let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com. Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023, but let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's talk some gambling right now in the NFL, and we do so with a sports betting host and personality. That's what it says in his Twitter bio. It should say a sports betting star, because that's what he is. That is Nick Kostos, of course, from You Better You Bet, who's kind enough to jump on board with us right now. Nick, how you been?
Zach, kindly appreciate the kind words, my man. Great to be on with you. Merry early Christmas to you and your listeners. And I think the same thing about you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate those kind words as well. Okay, enough with all the kissy-kissy action that we're doing out of the gate. Jaguars and Jets coming up tomorrow night. The Jets are a 1.5-point favorite. I feel like they're begging me to take the Jaguars, which is like a weird statement to say. To go with the Jaguars. Does that mean the Jets going to win this game?
It's a really difficult game, and I think, Zach, what's really fun about when we get into this time of year in the National Football League, there's so much data on all of these teams, right? We've seen them play so many games where early in the year, like think back to week one, like the Monday night game with the Broncos and the Seahawks, Denver was a 5.5-point road favorite in that game. Like, we're guessing at that point in the year is what the point spread should be. Like, and once we get into this portion of the year, like final couple weeks of the regular season, like by and large, like we know what these teams are. So I think the point spread is just about right. Like, maybe you want to say Jacksonville Vanderbilt should be like a 1-point favorite in the game, but it's basically just like pick the winner of the game here. So I think a lot of these games that we discuss here, Zach, are going to be bet your opinion games. Like, what's your opinion? I think it's really subjective here. And my opinion is, and I don't know if it's an opinion, but my opinion is that Zach Wilson's terrible. And again, like that may just be factual here. Now, Trevor Lawrence isn't 100%. The Jags are going to be without Trayvon Walker. And it does look like the Jets are going to get Quentin Williams back tomorrow night. Obviously, like, stud, like baby Aaron Donald, basically, on their defensive line. We'll wait till tomorrow night to make sure he's active, but he's trending towards playing in this game, which obviously helps the Jets. For me, I haven't bet this game yet. I think I'll probably end up with some sort of action on Jacksonville here. I just trust Trevor Lawrence a lot more than I trust Zach Wilson. Lawrence seems to have like his awakening, right? He's playing unbelievable football. But Zach, the Jaguars right now at BetMGM are in teaser range at +1.5, where you could tease them up in a low total game, potential inclement weather in the Northeast, and get Jacksonville +7.5. I think that would be my preferred method of betting this game. But make me pick the winner. I'll take Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars over Zach Wilson and the Jets.
Last week, I looked at the Bengals-Bucks spread, and I said, okay, that could be fishy, but I can't pick Tampa Bay right now. And at halftime, I was saying, man, I should have went with my gut in terms of, okay, that was a fishy line at first. And the next thing you know, Cincinnati finds 34 unanswered points. It's kind of similar this week where I know the Bengals are better than the Patriots, but then the Bengals are only a 3-point favorite. I would lay the money with Cincinnati -3. Yourself?
Yeah, I took 4 with the Patriots a couple days ago just because I felt like the number was going to move. I felt like New England was going to get bet off the way that they lost against the Raiders. And look, like, Cincinnati's obviously been incredible. Like, Burrow's mistaking a claim to be NFL MVP when it's all said and done. They play the Bills on Monday night next week, which is going to be a massive game to determine playoff seeding in the AFC. And maybe if Burrow could maybe win NFL MVP. But, Zach, you watched that game against Tampa, and the final score is very flattering to Cincinnati, and you mentioned they're rattling off the 34 unanswered. You know, Tampa turned the ball over like five times in a row,
yeah.
5 straight possessions, right? And like, we watched that game, and like, Burrow statistically had a great game, threw a bunch of touchdowns, but Tampa's literally giving them the ball on the doorstep time after time after time. I didn't think that Burrow and the Bengals played particularly well in that game. For me, that was a lot more about what Tampa didn't do than what Cincinnati did do. Now, I'm not saying that Cincinnati's going to lose to New England. I'm not saying that, like, that the Bengals can't cover the spread. And at this current number, if it's going to be 3, that's a no bet for me here. I'm interested in New England at anything above 3. Patriots +3.5, Patriots +4 would be plays for me. My sense is that Cincinnati will probably close 3.5, maybe a juice 3.5 towards New England, but that would be a buy point for me on the Patriots here. I think the point spread of the game should be 3. I think that's fine. Anything above 3, I want to take it with the Patriots in what is absolutely a must-win game after the way they lost to the Raiders, now sitting at 7-7, and Chandler Jones maybe stealing the soul of Mac Jones on the final play of the game.
Nick Costos here with us. Are you in on the Lions playoff push? They're now 7-7. They go up against the Panthers this weekend, who are 5-9, and Detroit's a 2.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I think you have to be in on the Lions. Now, I'd love to be able to tell you, like, bet Dan Campbell to win Coach of the Year, but he was 200-1 2 weeks ago. Now he's +175, and I don't know if he's worth a bet at this point. So for the Lions to be this big of a favorite on the road, and people will think, oh, it's a 3-point favorite. It's not that much. It means a lot to be 3 points on the road, and Carolina's been good here with Sam Darnold and Steve Wilks. I know they didn't play well last week against Pittsburgh, but the overall body of work for Carolina has been good. This is a ton of respect that the Lions are getting to be this big of a road favorite at Carolina here. And I can tell you, Zach, that there's split action on this game. We've had some guests on You Bet professional bettors that I really respect who don't think Detroit should be a 3-point favorite. And in some spots, this has come off 3 and is down to 2.5. I am personally of the opinion, and again, this is an opinion bet by me. I think the point spread is fine. I think Detroit's going to roll in this game. It's still Sam Darnold on the other side, and like, I can't get behind Sam Darnold in a spot like this with the Lions surging like they are. So Lions -2.5, Zach, would be a play for me. And if the Lions are able to win this game, next week they're going to play Chicago indoors in a game that's going to have a ridiculously high total, should be able to win that game. And then it might set up, pending the results of the Packers and Dolphins on Christmas, a Week 18 maybe win and in showdown with Green Bay at Lambeau for the final wild card spot in the NFC, which would be all sorts of awesome.
Nick Costos, there's a reason why I call the Cowboys the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. There's really nothing they could win this weekend. You just cannot lose, assuming that Gardner Minshew is going to be the starting quarterback for the Eagles. Dallas is a 5-point favorite. In your mind, is that spread too high right now?
No, I think if it's going to be Minshew, it's actually going to close higher. This is, to me, is an in-between number, which is like basically in between, more towards Minshew as the quarterback, obviously. But this is not a full Gardner Minshew as the starting quarterback for the Eagles number. And look, like, what's Nick Sirianni going to say? Like, yeah, Hurts is definitely out. Like, it benefits them 0% at this point in the week to tell the opposition that the quarterback's not going to play. But the betting market, Zach, tells you that Jalen Hurts is not going to play. I do want to offer this caveat. We saw the situation basically not identical, but close to it, happened two times earlier this year. Justin Herbert against the Jaguars, when we thought Herbert was out, he ended up playing. Josh Allen against the Vikings, we thought Allen was out, he ended up playing in the game. So I think bettors might be a little skittish here about Sirianni's comments. From everything that I've heard, and I'm not reporting anything or trying to make it like this is fact or gospel of what I'm going to say, I think it's very unlikely, based on what I've heard, that Jalen Hurts is going to play in this game. So I think it's going to be Gardner Minshew, and when that's official, I think Dallas will close at least a six-point favorite in this game. And then the question that bettors and fans will have to ask themselves is, it's subjective. What do you think the downgrade is from Jalen Hurts to Gardner Minshew? The point spread was going to be Dallas favored by less than 3 with Hurts as the quarterback. Now we're talking Dallas in a range of like a little less than 7. I think it's a really fun debate. For me, I think I'd probably take the points with Philadelphia. Minshew, one of the better backup quarterbacks in the league. And Dallas's secondary is an absolute disaster. And Minshew can definitely connect down the field with A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. And watch out for Dallas Goedert if Minshew plays. Goddard was a star in the games that Minshew played last year. Goddard off IR, returns for Philadelphia this week. So a lean for me with Philly if Minshew plays, but it's very subjective, so it's tough for me to tell you that with great confidence.
I think Micah Parsons would also plus the number because he doesn't think much of Jalen Hurts. He basically called him a system quarterback.
Yeah, and Parsons right now, he hasn't practiced. It's a great job by you bringing him up, Zach. Parsons hasn't practiced the last 2 days, and illness is sweeping through the Cowboys locker room, which to me probably means they all have COVID, but yeah, it doesn't exist in the NFL anymore, God bless. So let's see if Parsons practices tomorrow. I think he's probably still going to play. It's still early enough in the week. If Parsons doesn't play, like, obviously that's a significant deal. And for the first time, Zach, in a long time, Micah Parsons is not the favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. That's Niners pass rusher Nick Bosa is the slight favorite. So out there, you people out there listening, if you think Parsons is going to play, we get word he's going to play, you think he shows up and shows out, I would bet Micah Parsons at even money right now to win Defensive Player of the Year.
I know they're not going up against great teams this weekend, but are there any reasons to trust either Tampa or the Los Angeles Chargers to cover the number this weekend? Buccaneers going up against the Cardinals, I've seen that at Tampa minus 6.5, and then the Chargers laying 4.5 against the Colts.
So Tampa right now, Zach, with the news that Colt McCoy is officially out with his concussion, Trace McSorley will start on Christmas Day. By the way, here's how a great way to wrap up your Christmas Sunday will be Tom Brady and Trace McSorley with the Bucs and the Cardinals. So Tampa's been bet out to 7.5. I think that point spread is totally fine. I said on You Better You Bet yesterday, if it's going to be McSorley, Tampa needs to be more than a touchdown favorite, and now they are minus 7.5. So I would never bet Arizona. Like, that's not the conversation. The question is, how do we want to play Tampa? And I actually think there's a great way to play Tampa. And it's to 6-point tease them down to minus 1.5. Where Tampa wins by 3, you win. They win by 7, you win. I love teasing Tampa down to minus 1.5 as the final game on Christmas, on Sunday. I also think if you want to do a Christmas teaser, you tease them with the Rams up to plus 8.5 at home against the Denver Broncos. I like that as well. As far as Monday night goes, Chargers laying 4.5 on the road at the Colts. I bet the Colts already. I think the point spread is insane in this game. Like, absolutely insane. Like, I know the Colts, Jeff Saturday, we can all get our jokes off. The blown lead last Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings, I get it. The Chargers literally just closed 2.5 at home against the injured Tennessee Titans with injured Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. And now they're going to turn around and be 4.5 on the road at the Colts in prime time, and Indy's got a good home field advantage and it's extra rest for Indianapolis. Now, the thing that complicates this is that Nick Foles is going to start at quarterback for the Colts, right? Matt Ryan's been benched again for like the 8th time in the last 365 days.
And no Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor's out. But for me, like, that doesn't matter because, like, the Chargers can't stop the run. I think Zach Moss could potentially have a big game. Deion Jackson could have a big game here. Foles could throw for 300 yards. He could throw 8 interceptions. More volatility introduced. For me, Zach, like, I actually think this is the most off-point spread of the week. I love Indianapolis on Monday night. I think the point spread should be no more than 3. It's 4.5. Give me the Colts on Monday night.
If you had to give one lock, Nick Costos, on just what the spread currently is, no teasers, any of that, if you had to give out a little Christmas gift, what would your lock be for this week?
Sure. I just want to issue this caveat that there's no such thing as a lock, but I'll try and give you a bet that I think is going to win. How about San Francisco laying a touchdown at home against Washington? So I laid 6.5 a couple days ago. Like, we handicap games early in the week on you, basically every day on the show. So, like, if I say I have, like, better numbers because I'm betting earlier in the week. The number sitting at 7 now, I actually still think is a good bet on the Niners. I think this point spread absolutely has to be above 7. And people will point to the officiating on Sunday night with the Commanders-Giants game, and it wasn't great. But kind of lost in all of that is that Taylor Heinicke did not play well, to the point that, like, Ron Rivera is openly talking about Carson Wentz maybe coming in and playing at some point for Washington. Like, I think Heinicke is a great story, but a turnover waiting to happen against an absolute machine right now in the San Francisco 49ers, where Brock Purdy just goes in, executes the offense, and San Francisco walks out of Dodge with a double-digit win. I'll lay the 7 with the 49ers on Saturday against the Commanders.
Last thing I'll ask you, Nick Costos, if you had to put a little future in right now and where Tom Brady's playing next year, who would you go with?
Oh, man, what a great question. Definitely not Tampa. And definitely not New England. Do you want to give me a market here, a couple choices to choose from? Because this could really, a conversation that can go in a lot of directions. But I think no chance Tampa, and obviously he's not going back to New England. So, like, one of the other 30 teams, I kind of have to think about it. I'll tell you, maybe the Jets would be, like, kind of a dark horse here. Zach Wilson struggles.
I just vomited. I just vomited, Nick. I'm a Patriot fan. I can't see Tom Brady with the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think I'm it's sick. Crazy. Like, so I think, Zach, like, this is how to think about it, right? Tom Brady, he's not going to Houston, right? He's not going to a bad team. He's going to a team that could win a Super Bowl if he comes back, that's got some weapons on offense and, like, a good defense, right? So the Jets kind of check those boxes. You go in there, Breece Hall comes back, Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore. I don't know. I think crazier things have happened. I think no way he's back in Tampa next year if he comes back.
I'm going to say the 49ers. He's always wanted to go there, and I don't know, with this whole Trey Lance injury, now Jimmy G, and I'm not going to think that Brock Purdy wins a Super Bowl this year. I think he may finally get his wish with the Niners.
It's certainly within the realm of possibility. Brady, so the problem with Brady in San Francisco is, like, the Shanahan offense requires, well, I guess you could say the same thing about the Jets, because LaFleur comes from the Shanahan tree, so what I was going to say, I guess, doesn't matter. But you have to have the quarterback got to be able to move a little bit, and Brady can't. I'm sure San Francisco would still love to have Tom Brady as its quarterback, though, so you might be right about that.
What about Tennessee? Would you consider Tennessee with Vrabel?
Well, I guess the issue there, again, with Tennessee is, who's he throwing the ball to? Like, we like Treylon Burks, but unless they traded A.J. Brown, like, behind Burks, it's Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Okonkwo, the tight end, is a little interesting, right? Chick Okonkwo is pretty awesome, but they don't have the requisite pass catchers there. And I don't know, like, if you had to set the betting odds, the betting market for the AFC South next year, like, Jacksonville would definitely be the favorite, right? Jacksonville's basically on the come. So, yeah, I don't think I would have Tennessee among, like, the top choices.
Make sure you listen to him Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern. You better, you bet. You could also catch him on WFAN in New York Sundays, 8:30 to 9 a.m. Eastern. That is Nick Costos. Nick, appreciate the time as always.
You got it, Zach. Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to all your listeners, and wishing everybody minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck.
Thanks so much. There he is, Nick Costos, joining us. Zach Gilb here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We'll do a little Take 5 Wednesday.
Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com. Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com. Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All Access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising and which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top five NFL teams on this week's edition of Take Five, only on The Zach Gelb Show.
All righty. Take Five, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. I will start things off in the fifth spot, and I will go with the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, just a reminder, this is how we view these teams just based off of what we've seen so far, not how we're going to project them to be in the future, because the Chiefs still have a very good chance of making the Super Bowl this year. But the last 3 weeks, I've not liked what I've seen from Kansas City. They lost to the Bengals. The Bengals have owned them. Then they bounced back. It looked like they were going to blow out the Broncos, but then that game got tight, and it was a lot closer than what it should have been. And last week, they barely beat the Texans. They had to go to overtime with the Houston Texans. And if Davis Mills doesn't fumble that ball, that Frank Clark made a nice play, and you had Willie Gay scoop it up, maybe the Texans march down the field and get a field goal, and then they lose to the Houston Texans. So Kansas City is in at number five. At number four, this team keeps on getting injured at their quarterback position, but whoever they plug in, they just keep on winning games. They have not lost since their loss to Kansas City. They have won seven straight, and that is the San Francisco 49ers, as they beat the Rams, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Saints, the Dolphins, the Bucks, and then the Seahawks last week. And this week they play the Commanders, and I think they're going to make it eight in a row. And that team, with guys coming back from injuries, are just going to keep on getting better and better. And it's the question that there is just with the 49ers is, can Brock Purdy in the playoffs continue to just manage the game and weather the storm? Because so far, he's done a really good job the last 3 weeks and has even made some crazy takes happen, like Bill Romanowski, who joined us last week. And Romo basically, well, he didn't basically, he did say it, that he believes they have their franchise quarterback with Brock Purdy for the next 10 to 15 years, he said. And remember, Bill Romanowski played with Joe Montana. He says he sees some Joe Montana in Brock Purdy. Once again, that's not what I said. That's what a four-time Super Bowl champion and Bill Romanowski said on this show. In at number three, and these two teams, they do play coming up next week, but I do put the Cincinnati Bengals sitting in at number three. The Bengals, they had a bad start up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know they scored 34 unanswered. I did think that was an interesting point, Hickey, and you feel free to elaborate on it, that Nick Costos brought up. Yeah, you give credit to the Bengals for coming on back when you scored 34 unanswered, but it is crazy, and maybe the first take should be, Tampa did in that game turn the football over five straight times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we mentioned when we were talking about the Bengals in terms of, you know, trust and even just a few segments ago. But, yeah, I mean, look, credit to, I think the Bengals deserve credit for taking those opportunities and scoring touchdowns, not field goals, which they did, I believe either three out of five or four out of five, they scored touchdowns. So they put the foot on the pedal and were able to punch them in. But, I mean, Tampa made it easy for them. All five turnovers in their own end.
And then going into the two spot, it's going to be Buffalo. Buffalo's 11-3. Remember when everyone was panicking about Buffalo and they lost to the Jets and the Vikings? Yeah, they have not lost since. They have won five in a row. And you know what I liked about that Dolphins victory, Hickey? Is there was ups and downs in that game. When Josh Allen was running around at the end of the first half, and he ran out of time, which I thought was bad awareness by Josh Allen. But then the next thing you know, he gets James Cook open in the end zone and finds him to cap off a 12-play, 82-yard drive, and they go into the half 21-13. I thought when that happened with the magician Houdini-like play that one Josh Allen did orchestrate in that game, I thought it was going to be a blowout in the second half. I thought the Bills were just going to bludgeon the Miami Dolphins, and then heading into the fourth quarter, it was actually Miami that was up 26-21, and I think there was a fumble, and then off the fumble, Miami settled for a field goal to make it 29-21, and then after that, Buffalo did what they needed to do on offense and defense to go win the game. I thought the ups and downs in a game like that from Buffalo to go win that game against Miami, where it looked like they were going to blow them out. Then it looked like Miami may have was going to go win that game coming away. It once again just shows you the toughness, Hickey, that this Buffalo Bills team has really displayed all throughout the year.
And their ability to bounce back from resiliency, because as you know, right, things don't always go your way, especially in the NFL, especially in the playoffs. You're going to have to rebound when you get punched in the mouth. And like I said, credit the Bills, down by 8 points, fourth quarter at home. You're able to make enough plays in order to get the win.
And then finally, I know it wasn't their cleanest game of the season, but the Eagles did defeat the Bears, and the Eagles only have one loss on the year as we start to flip the page and go to week 16. My only concern about Philadelphia, who is getting Dallas Goedert back this week, which is big for them, because he was on pace to have a great season. He was looking like he was playing like he was the best tight end in the NFC. It's just the Jalen Hurts injury. They keep on telling you it's not serious. It's not going to be long-term. Maybe he plays this week. I would be surprised, and I'm going to believe that he's not going to play more so than he will play heading into this week, but it's okay. When does he get back to feeling good? And not just saying you feel good, but actually feeling good when you have a injury on your throwing shoulder. That's a concern, but that roster is just so damn good in Philadelphia. So I put the Eagles in the one spot. So my five teams this week: Chiefs at 5, Niners at 4, Bengals in at number 3, the Buffalo Bills, who make you want to shout, in at 2, and the Eagles Eagles in at number 1. Hot take, Hickey, speak now or forever hold your peace.
So I'm going to do a little different here, because I feel like for the most part, the five teams are pretty easily defined, right? Like, I mean, we could sit here and try to make an argument and say, oh, the Vikings are 11-3. You could shoot that down a second. Cowboys, you may say that, you shoot it down a second. So I'll ask you this instead then. You have the 49ers at 4. What about number 2? Do you think right now there's an argument to make that the two teams in the NFC, the Eagles and the 49ers, right now going into week 16, are the two best teams in the NFL ahead of the 3 AFC teams in the Bills, Bengals, Chiefs?
No, and this may not be the greatest reasoning in the world, but I look at Brock Purdy, and even though he's played really well, you could tell me out of the trio of AFC teams that maybe they're better than one of them. But then when you look at how complete of a team the Bengals are and how complete of a team Buffalo is with the quarterbacks that they have, like Kansas City, their defense, there's some weeks I don't know what to expect out of them. I know Mahomes is great, but the weapons around him other than Kelce aren't as great, even though Mahomes makes them look great. So that's why I kind of, with just the performance last 3 weeks, put them in at 5. But then to move the 49ers past the Bengals and the Bills, when the Bills have a complete team, the Bengals have a complete team, and then their quarterbacks are Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, I can't put the Niners in at number 2.
Even with how they played recently?
Yeah.
Playing a good schedule, playing well, and you have, like I said, Bengals close call down 17-0 to a bad Bucs team.
It was a step, remember, Bills for me to put them in the top 5. I was holding them out of the top 5 because we weren't seeing that performance on the field. And then, well, I think it was 2 weeks ago, I then finally inserted them into the top 5. And then this week, I moved them up to 4. I just can't really put them much higher than that. Now, they haven't lost a game since October 23rd, so give them a bunch of credit. And they've been losing quarterbacks left and right. And I love their performance up against Miami, but Tampa's a bad team. And Seattle is not the Seattle that the way that they were earlier in the year. So I give credit for what the Niners are doing, and I think they're the second best team in the NFC, but I can't say that they are a top 3 team in the NFL right now. They're close, but I can't put them in the top 3 or even all the way up to 2. Anyone else?
No, that's it.
Well, then how would you order those teams? If this was your list, I'm just curious, since we do speak now, forever hold your peace, how would you order those teams then?
I would have gone Eagles, 49ers, Bills, Bengals, Chiefs. I think the 49ers are worthy of being number 2.
You think they're better than the Bills?
Right. Well, this is not a overall, right? This is just so far, week by week, if you will. Yeah. I think right now they're playing better football right now than the Bills are.
But what have the Bills done recently to make you change your opinion on them?
Well, let's look at common opponents, right? Both have played the Dolphins recently. And when you look at the Bengals, at least, both have played the Buccaneers recently. Well, the 49ers blew out the Buccaneers, where the Bengals were down 17-0. The Bills were down at home to the Dolphins, whereas you had the 49ers outside of the first play of the game. They really dominated
Dolphins. Hold on, you're confusing me. The Bills and the Buccaneers.
So the Bengals. The Bengals and the Buccaneers played recently.
Okay.
They have a common opponent with the 49ers. The Buccaneers. Buccaneers were dominated by the 49ers, right? 35-7. Brock Purdy
You're
lit
saying
up.
Why you put them in front of the Bengals.
And so for the Bills, they both played the Dolphins recently. With the backup quarterback, the 49ers handled the Dolphins and blew them out, and the Bills were trailing in the fourth quarter at home and needed a walk-off field goal to win.
Yeah.
So everyone's, you know, it's semantics. Don't get me wrong here, but also at the same time, it's like, if we're going to nitpick the five teams, the 49ers are really the only team out of this five, maybe Eagles as well.
I love how much you hate Buffalo.
I'm not
you
hating Buffalo.
Hate Buffalo. Get me another Adam Ritchie tweet. Get me another Adam Ritchie tweet. I know he's already tweeting right now into the show. That guy tweets you a lot.
He's a diehard Buffalo. I mean, I would do the same thing if I was him and roles were reversed. I can't fault him.
No, but yeah. Also, in last year, you're saying that Josh Allen is a worse quarterback than Carson Wentz.
And I regretted that immediately. And it was a bad take.
And Frank Reich was a better coach than McDermott. Well, I could see why you get the tag of a Buffalo hater.
That one is definitely more reasonable than the Carson Wentz one, that's for sure.
Neither of them are reasonable. Frank Reich doesn't have a job. And Sean McDermott has got the Bills to the playoffs, like, what, 4 out of 5 years? Now gonna be five out of six? Come on, Icky. Stop.
I mean,
let it go. Frank Reich sucks. He's an offensive coordinator, not a head coach in this league. And this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back with a news brief. Also, Terry Collins set to join us at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific.
Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com. Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com. Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023. But let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.